Good morning, everybody. How are we doing today? Great. Well, you look great. I love seeing your happy, smiley faces, and we're so glad that you could join us this morning. My name is Rachel, and I have the privilege of being your host here at the 11 o'clock campus service, where everybody is welcome. Come, be as you are, be yourself, and it's also a place where it's okay to not be okay. You are in the right place for that. You are in the house of the Lord. Amen. And we want you to worship in whatever way is best for you. So feel free to stay seated if that's what you'd like to do. You're welcome to rise with us when we worship. Certainly raise your hands to praise God, whatever is best for you. And if you haven't had a chance yet to introduce yourself to somebody new, now is your chance. Get up, go across the aisles, shake hands, tell somebody Jesus loves you this morning. So when we're with our Christian family, that gives us support and it helps strengthen our relationship in Christ. We need that. The Lord says that we need that. And it is comforting. So we're so glad you guys can be with us today once again. And if you're here with us for the first time, or maybe you haven't been back in a while, inside your worship folder, you've got this connection card. If you could go ahead and take it out and just fill out anything you feel comfortable with sharing, your name, who you are, where you're from, any special reasons for visiting with us, are you from out of town? And this is our way to thank God for the gift he has given us by bringing you here this morning. It's our way to honor that gift. And if you are watching on YouTube or on our website, we want to give you guys a warm welcome and say we're so glad you're watching us this morning. And if you could go down to the comments, tell us where you're watching from, because we love to hear from everybody. We want to know where you're at and welcome you into our service. And if you would like to download our worship folder, so you can fill in the blanks and the notes for today, you can go to hopeonthebeach.com and you will see there on the homepage a link to download. So we are in our sermon series on the book of Acts called Sent. And we've been following along in our small life groups. It's been quite impactful. And our message this morning is going to be prayer opens doors. So before we get started, let's invite God to our worship as we pray over today's message. Heavenly Father, just give us revival in our prayer life and reignite our passion for fully seeking and trusting you. Just give us the courage to pray boldly with others out loud. But let our prayers be a source of healing and restoration, just recognizing those in need of compassion and empathy. Just being generous in prayer and just lifting them up to you. May our prayer life be a reflection of our willingness to follow you where you are leading us, even when it's uncomfortable. Father God, we just want to build a firm foundation of faith with you. So we thank you for the gift of Jesus who brought us the pathway to unlimited communication with you. In his loving name, we all pray. Amen. Let's rise, and Sam's going to lead us in our worship.
Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand, and everything around me is shaken. Oh, I've never glad that I put my faith in Jesus. He's never let me down. He's faithful to generation. So why would he fail now? He won't. He won't. Still got joy in chaos. Oh, I've got peace that makes no sense, and I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength. I built my life on Jesus. He's never let me down. He's faithful in every season. So why would he fail now? He won't. He won't. He won't fail. He won't fail. He won't. Rain came, wind blew, my house was built on you, and I'm safe with you. Oh, I'm gonna make it through. And rain came, wind blew, my house was built on you, and I'm safe with you. Oh, I'm gonna make it through. Yeah, I'm gonna make it through, 'cause I'm standing strong on you. Yeah, I'm gonna was built on you. Christ is my firm foundation. Oh, the rock on which I stand, and everything around me is shaken. Oh, I've never been more glad. He's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would he fail now? He won't. He won't. He won't fail.
Amen. Let's give him a hand this morning. God, we thank you, Lord. Yes, God. We thank you that you are faithful, Lord, and that no matter what may fail us in this life, no matter who may fail us in this life, God, you are there for us, God. And it is you who came and sought us out while we were still sinners, God.
Across the pages of time, he who made every living thing, behold him. He who heard humanity's cry, left his throne to wake as a child, he became like the least of us. Behold him, Jesus, Son of God, Messiah, the Lamb, the roaring lion. Oh, be still and
dined with sinners and saints, healed the blind, the lost, and the lame. Even now he is in our midst. Behold him. He who chose the criminals in, paid with blood to settle our debt, buried death as he rose to life. Behold him, Jesus, Son of God, Messiah, the Lamb, the roaring lion. Oh, be still and behold.
Father, we thank you for the chance to be in your house and in your presence. We ask your blessing upon this word, and we pray that you would speak to us, encourage us, but also challenge us to walk deeper and to be the light that you have called us to be, in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you all. May be seated. My name is Steve, and if I haven't had a chance to meet you yet, I look forward to that. I am the director of ministries here at Hope on the Beach Church, and Judy and I are excited to be here and to be working with Hope, and I'm looking forward to a lot more interrelational activities when we get closer down the road and get into some studies together and things like that. So I'm looking forward to it. This morning, my job is to continue our theme of sent. We're looking at the early church in the book of Acts, and we're looking at its development, the apostles, the changes, actually, that came upon many of the disciples and apostles and how the church began to grow. And the last message we heard, we were reminded of how Peter was challenged to take the gospel to the Gentiles. So he has just made that commitment in his heart. He has just begun to do that work when Herod decides to arrest him. And Herod begins to persecute the church again. And so that's where we are this morning in Acts chapter 2. I want to ask you this morning, have you ever been in darkness so dark that literally you could not see the hand in front of your face? Have you ever been? Yeah, you've been in that situation. I toured a cave once, and they turned the lights out. And I couldn't even hardly feel my hand go, let alone see it. It was dark. Well, today, Peter wakes up in the dark with an angel poking him in the side. So we're going to look at this because the church is praying for Peter. And we're going to talk about that again in just a minute. But first of all, let's read this first portion of Scripture, the first five verses of Acts chapter 12. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. And when he saw that this met with approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the festival of unleavened bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Now you can do the math, right? 16 dudes guarding poor little old Peter. And Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Now, today is going to be a little interactive message. You will have a job, all right? So, your job is each time that I mention that the church was, let's go with earnestly praying, okay? Because before we're done, you'll have them praying earnestly, hardly praying, not praying. What? It's been an adventure in the other services. But so, we'll go with earnestly praying. That'll be the answer we're looking for. And we're going to see the role that played in Peter coming out of the dark. And what does that have to do with us as a church? So, number one, we need to pray for those in prison. We put prison in quotes, because we're not just talking about folks that are incarcerated. We're talking about folks who find themselves chained, struggling, bound up in, A says, their sin. They can be imprisoned by their sin. We know folks in our family, friends, maybe our neighbors, that are bound up in some sort of battle in their life. They're caught with an addiction. They're caught with sometimes I meet folks that have such a bitter attitude towards something way back there. And they just never can get free of it. And they won't let go of it. Or they've got a habit that just keeps eating away at their life. They wish they could quit. People are often bound up, chained to their sins. We sing the version of Amazing Grace, "My chains are gone." That's what Christ does for us. He frees us. Well, Peter wakes up in the dark. He's imprisoned. And he's being kept in prison. But the church was... Oh, very good. See, we're on it now. That may be better than the other two groups. I don't know. So, yeah, of course we are. But so, we need to pray for those in prison, and people can be imprisoned by their sin. And in fact, our memory verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, says, let's read it together. It's a big one. So get ready. Pray continually. The second service said, pray earnestly. They didn't even bother to read it. So yeah, pray continually. We're to be in a spirit in union with God that is prayerful. I can pray anytime all day long. I can pray in any circumstance. I am to be in that spirit of communication with our Father. And so the church was earnestly praying, right, for Peter. And so here's what happens. Let's check this story out. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. I think I can get the picture. They didn't want Peter to get out. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said. And the chains fell off of Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals." And Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards, came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. So, Peter's sound asleep. He's been in prison for a little while. And the angel shows up, wakes him up, tells him to get dressed. The chains just fall off of him. He's asleep between two guards, and he just stands up, starts to follow the angel, who leads him past the first guards and the second guards, and they get to the gate, and it just opens. Of course it does. And Peter finds himself back in the street, out of prison. He's been set free. Now, why did this happen? Because the church was earnestly praying. Now, I've been a pastor a long time. I've led a lot of prayer meetings. And if I'm in this prayer meeting, I don't think from my experience, that I'm going to hear someone pray out loud, "Lord, can you wake Peter up with an angel? Slip him past 16 sets of guards and open the gate so he can be free." Now that's a fantastic prayer. But my experience is most of the time the prayer would sound like this: "Lord, be with Peter." What? Newsflash, the Lord's already with Peter. He's got that part down. What we need is Peter freed. We need Peter back out sharing the gospel he had just been instructed to carry to the Gentiles. So we don't know. Pastor Jason and I talked about this week. We don't even know what the church was praying for. Bible doesn't tell us. Just says they were earnestly praying, but we don't know for what. But based on their reaction here, I don't think they thought Peter was going to get freed. They weren't ready for that. Now here's the rabbit I want to chase. There are people in our lives who are trapped in the dark. They're imprisoned by their sin. They're in a dark place over a circumstance, a relationship, an attitude. Perhaps it's their past. They can't let that go. Guilt. Whatever it is that they're suffering from, they don't call it darkness, but they may be sharing with you about how a relationship is crumbling in their life. Or they may be talking to you about an addiction they can't get over, or a habit they wish they could break. They could be sharing with you about their dark place. And as a church, it's our job to pray for them. Because the most spectacular thing about this for me, it's a great story. Yeah, Peter wakes up between two soldiers, and yep, he walks right past 16 others, and sure, the gate opens all by itself. But the miracle to me is that a light shined. This is a dark hole in a rock. It's a prison. It's a cave. There's nothing but maybe some torch lights. And all of a sudden, a light shines. Doesn't wake the guards. The 16 guys still miss it. The gate still opens. But there's a light. And what we're praying for is for the light to come on in the lives of our family and our friends, folks that we know who are struggling. Our prayers ought to be that Christ's light shines in their life. And maybe we have an opportunity to introduce them to that light. You see, the beauty of this is we can pray for others because we've been delivered from the dark. We know what it means to see the light. We know what it means to have Christ indwell our lives. We know what it means to walk in the Spirit of the Lord. We have that grace. We've experienced that mercy. And so I want you, whoever you are, to find it. I want you to know what I know. I want you to experience this light in the middle of your darkness. And so we are to pray. It's part of our vibrant follower, is to be a prayer warrior, to be praying for people. And this happens just the night before. My experience is God's never early. Sometimes He can be, but not usually. And He's never late. Never. God answers. God answers. But, number two, He answers on His timeline. He answers when He's ready for us to have the answer. And so, the hardest part for us is to trust. And that means waiting. We're not good at that, are we? Really? It's not strong suit. Some of you are shaking your head a little harder than others. So I know that you can relate to my issue. I'm not a good waiting person. I don't like things to take a long time. Judy will tell you there are times I get frustrated at the computer, even my phone. It just takes too long. Yeah, usually it's user error. But we came down here, and of course we had to change our insurance. Medicare, out of Missouri, into Florida. We're in a new zone. That's a phone call I dread making. Because they have a book this thick they want to read to you about the coverage. Well, bless my lovely wife's heart. She took that bullet. She went through that process with them so that all I had to call was almost just call them and go, uh-huh. A lot of things at my house, Hampton, happen that way, where I just go, uh-huh. And so I don't like to wait. I don't like things that take a long time. But in prayer, we have to learn to wait because God answers on His time frame. But the exciting part of that is His answers, letter A, often exceed our expectations. I go back to the church who was... Yep, I know you're getting tired of this game already. Yeah, praying earnestly, or earnestly praying. What did we say? I told you we'd forget. Earnestly praying. I think I'm the guy that forgot. Okay, so the church is earnestly praying, but I got a feeling when we look at their reaction that God exceeded their expectations. This is my favorite part of the story. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. This is why He can exceed our expectations. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. He's able to do immeasurably more. That means we can't keep up with it. We don't know how to track it. All we know is He exceeded our expectations. And we see that every time somebody finds their way from the dark to the light. Every time they come to God's call. Every time they hear God reaching to them and they respond. that light shines in their life. It's a wonderful thing to see. It's a wonderful thing to see people set free from chains, to get over that addiction or that trauma, that past, that attitude, whatever they struggle with. There is light for the darkness. And in fact, Jesus called us the light of the world, and we're to pierce the darkness. We're to be the light. So, here's what happens. I love this part. So then Peter came to himself, and he said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen." When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, "Peter's at the door." Now, Peter just got out of prison. When he's knocking on the door, he wants it to open, because he just got out of prison. But Rhoda's too excited. She leaves him standing at the door, runs back where the gang is praying, and she says, "Peter's at the door." And they shout, "Praise the Lord." Oh, no. No, no. They shout, "You're out of your mind. You're out of your mind. You crazy girl. That's not Peter." Now, maybe an angel, but that's not Peter. And Peter's still knocking. "Just got out of prison. Open the door." Finally, they come, they open the door. The Bible tells us, when she kept insisting that it was so, they said it must be his angel. But Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. So does that make you think they were praying for him to get out? I don't think so. But Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet, and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. "Tell James and the other brothers and sisters about this," he said. And then he left for another place. I'm out of here. So he is knocking until he finally gets the door open. And then they're astonished and excited, celebrate. And he's like, "Shh, tells them the story, tells them to tell the rest of the church, "I gotta go." So they weren't ready. They weren't ready for God to deliver beyond expectations. They just weren't ready. Number three, we should watch and expect God's answers. We should watch for them and expect them. The church wasn't. They weren't ready. Look at the Bible verse of Colossians, chapter 4. "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains." devote yourself to prayer and be watchful and thankful, expecting. When we pray for someone, we need to believe and expect and look for it to happen. We need to trust God to be able to do this. I think part of the problem with the modern believer is that we think God's too small. We've got God kind of where we like Him. But He is so much more. He is so much bigger than we are. He's bigger than any task. I can assure you of this. Jesus is not on His throne room today. He is not sitting next to the Father, listening to the angels sing, and biting His nails. Because the prayers are coming to Him, and He didn't know that was coming. He didn't know Steve was going to ask for that. And he's fretting and nervous. Really? Do you think that's who God is? You think you can out-ask God? That's where you say no. No. I don't think I can out-ask God. No, you can't. There's nothing so big. There's no darkness so dark. Even if you can't see your hand, God's light can shine right there. He brings light to darkness. So no matter what someone is sharing with you, no matter what you may be feeling personally today, it's not so dark that God's light can't come through. So as a church, we need to be what? Earnestly praying for people that we know and we love. Listen, letter A says doubts happen. They do. Sometimes we don't think God's big enough. Sometimes we don't think God loves us enough. We don't deserve this answer that we're asking for. We have doubts. But the fact is that God answers on His time frame. And there's nothing too big for Him. And when He answers, letter B, we should celebrate. The church did, so much so that Peter had to quiet him down. Remember, to him, he's an escapee. He just got out. To the church, he's a miracle, one they weren't ready for. But he's a miracle, so much that they couldn't believe it. Rhoda got so excited, she forgot to open the door. We need to celebrate when God answers. Look at number four. Peter recognized God's hand opened the door. Prayer opens doors. And it's our ministry as a church. We are praying. We are on mission to awaken the hearts to Jesus in everyone, every day, everywhere. It's what we want to do as a church. It's what we're on mission to do. We become a vibrant follower. We're a prayer warrior. We go to the Lord with every little thing. Have you found this yet? Pull that out of your bulletin, will you? That's your get out of card, get out of jail free card, or your get out of your card jail free, whichever. Get out of jail free card. Now, what we want to ask you to do is on the back, list who you're praying for. Who needs a get out of jail card? We approach Easter. We're just next week's Palm Sunday already. And so as Easter approaches, we know the influence that hope has in the Easter season. We're preparing already for 3,000 folk or more to hit the beach. It'll be a glorious day in all three of our venues. But what a better time. Because at Easter, folks that are not necessarily thinking about God during the year will. Their minds are turned there, their hearts. And we may have an opportunity to just set a ton of folk free. We ought to be praying to that end. And praying specifically for God to deliver, for God to heal, for God to set free. Not a scared little prayer, Lord, be with him. Already is. Somebody prayed for me. I have a feeling my mother prayed and my dad every day for all four of us kids. And it was no surprise when I told them that I wanted to give my heart to Jesus. And my dad sat down and shared the gospel, pointed me to the cross. And then it was a more of a surprise when I told them the Lord had called me to preach. They weren't ready for that. But they were supportive because they had continued to be praying for me. We need to pray for people. We need to pray for folks that are in the dark, who need Christ, who just need deliverance. You know, I hate to remind you of this, but as believers, we have areas of darkness in our lives too. We got spots, and we need deliverance. We need to be set free from whatever that is, from whatever is breaking the communication. I've got these trembly hands, and they tell me it's because from my brain to my hands, instead of a solid black line of communication, I get a dotted line. So it's like, yep, nope, yep, nope, yep, nope. So they bounce. Sometimes sin, well, all the time sin, creates a dotted line. When God wants to communicate straight, solid black line, our sin interrupts him. We need to be delivered of that. We need to get that out of our life. Prayer. Prayer. Prayer opens doors. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the beauty of this miracle. We thank you for seeing what prayer can do. And we're grateful for a church that was praying for their brother and saw his freedom. May we be that church. May we be such a powerful praying force that we see many set free. May your light shine upon those we love and those we don't even know, but we care. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy, your grace, your goodness. Thank you for speaking with us today in Jesus' name. Let's pray as we've been taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
The victory belongs to God through our answered prayers. Amen? The credit and the glory belongs to him. Not us, him. He does it. And we can honor the Father in return by following his plan for us. And your offerings are one way that we can do this and honor the Father. Inside of your worship folder, you should have an offering envelope. If you'd like to give today, you can place your offering in here. We actually have several ways outlined in your folder to give, including our text to give number, or also online at hopeonthebeach.com, so you can choose the best way. And if you flip over that connection card on the back, you're going to see some ways to celebrate what God has done in your life. If you're new, if you're a new believer, if your faith has been strengthened or you want to be baptized, scan that QR code for more information. Talk to our staff on the way out. We would love to celebrate that with you and pray over you. And also, we have some ways for you to connect with us at Hope on the Beach Church and strengthen your personal relationship with Jesus. If you take a look at our Hope Happenings on the back of your worship folder, we've got some awesome events coming up for Easter. This week, we've got our youth group that happens on Wednesday nights. On Thursday at 1 o'clock, we have a shell painting and an egg filling. And we're getting ready for our exciting Easter fun event that's going to be on Sunday, April the 13th. We hope you guys will join us for that. And also, we need volunteers as well. So if God has put it in your heart to help us with crafts and serving, please go ahead on the back of your connection card and check that box. Also, you can see that we have our Holy Week schedule available as well. And we are looking forward to all of these services. And we are so grateful to all of our volunteers who come every week and help us. And for Holy Week, we actually are looking for more volunteers for the Shunk Gully Oyster Bar at 9:20 a.m. right across from the Ed Wallin Beach Access. So if you would like to serve on Easter and that is your calling, you can again mark that on the back of your connection card. At the time, if you want to take your offering envelope and your connection card, you can place them in the offering plates on either side, and we're going to continue worshiping.
Let us not lift our souls to another.
most pure heart. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands. Give us pure heart. Let us not lift our souls to another.